Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
People want to know that you actually care about what they're trying to do and you can actually help. And these things like technology and niching and education and other stuff are important and they can help you to go where you need to go. But if you don't embrace who you are, your authenticity, your individuality, and who you were made to be, you're only going to be able to help so many people. You're never going to really see that impact. You're never going to work with the people that you truly want to work with, and you're never going to have the trust of those people. You won't be able to get to where you want to go.
Hi there, innovator. It's really great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust too that you enjoyed my recent conversations with Mike Payton of EOS Worldwide and with Vivian Goh of Simple Wealth Coaching. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast today as my guest, Andrew van de Beek, who is founder and head of purpose at Illuminate, and he's also the 2018 Accounting Thought Leader of the Year. Andrew is passionate about working with people to help their business and their investment performance meet their life goals and their dreams. Knowing why they choose to do what they do puts everything into perspective. A quick promotional message from our sponsor, InnovaBiz. We help coaches and consultants build professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal clients. To help you get clarity about who your ideal client is, take a look at our Marketing Master Mini Class. In less than 30 minutes, you'll gain absolute clarity on your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And that's really what it's all about. Access the Marketing Master Mini Class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and you can access it without even giving away your email. In our discussion today, Andrew talked to me about keeping focus on your why, what the ultimate outcome for your business is, and how your business will serve that goal. We talked about innovation and process, determining what's actually needed, then if possible, automate, if not, delegate, if not either of those, then do it yourself. And he explained that adding value can be achieved by being your true, authentic self. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Andrew van de Beek. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Melbourne in Australia, Andrew van de Beek, who's the founder and head of purpose at Illuminate. Andrew's also been named the 2018 Accounting Thought Leader of the Year. Welcome to the podcast, Andrew. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Thanks, Jürgen. The privilege is all mine, mate. This is good to be here with you.
Corey Wassell, who was our guest on episode 227 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we get you on and have a conversation. So big hello to Corey.
I'll be sending him the check in the mail. Corey and I, he's a good guy. I love what he's got, what he thinks about, what he's got to share in this world. It's good.
Yeah. Now, Illuminate is an accounting and bookkeeping company with a difference. So you work with your clients to help their business and investment performance meet their life goals and dreams. So I really like that as a mission statement, because a lot of people that get into business, and I've fallen into that trap too in the past, end up having the business run their life rather than building a business to allow them to live a life that they actually want to live. So I love the idea of building a business and helping their business and investment performance meet their life goals. So I'm really looking forward to digging deeper into that. But before we start talking about all things business and investment and aspirations, give us a bit of a snapshot of your background. How did you get to where you are today, and what were some of the key moments in that journey?
Oh, look, I could speak for hours on this, but I'll try and keep it relatively brief. As a young whippersnapper, I was good at maths and thought that accounting would be a great career. Little did I know the truth of the matter of what the evil world of accounting can do for you. So out of high school, I spent a bunch of time with KPMG as a cadetship. So I was really privileged to get quite a deep insight on what a big four accounting firm looks like. But at the same time, I probably quickly learned that that kind of environment and that level of kind of corporate approach really didn't fit with who I was. So made some transitions over the years and spent some time with some smaller suburban accounting firm. And then at the age of 26, I made what I referred as my first good dumb idea or decision. And I decided to start up an accounting firm, which is Illuminate as it is today. So I'd had, 6 years with KPMG, another three or so years with a smaller suburban. And I just realized that the world of accounting is so transactional by nature. I mean, it's historically, it's about the documents. It's what I refer to as keeping you out of jail is really what most accountants do. And I'm like, yeah, that's all well and good, but we're working with people here. These are people who have livelihoods and goals and hopes and dreams. Like, it's not just a transaction. So that led me to start Illuminate and kind of seek out, what does it look like if we could have a relationship-led accounting business instead of a transactional-based thing? And I had a business partner in the early days for the first kind of 4 years of the business who is a great mate of mine and someone that I tap into a lot for advice still. But about 4 years ago, we decided to part ways, and I bought him out of the business, which was another one of my great dumb ideas to do. And then all of a sudden I was left in the wilderness of like, okay, cool. And now I'm running this business. Like, this is great. But hold on, who is Illuminate? Like, what do we stand for? Why are we even here? Like, we said it was all about relationship, but we don't even understand who we are as a business. So how can we even tell anybody who we are if we don't know that ourselves? So it was a very big wake up moment for me. And it kind of happened, I didn't have a business partner, so it was easier to make decisions now because I didn't have to kind of bounce ideas off him. But at the same time, it was this, I refer to as our coming out of the closet moment, where we got to go, okay, cool. We've kind of been pretending to be accountants for ages. Why don't we just be people who happen to be good at accounting rather than accountants? And that way, our brand and our vision and our mission as a business has transformed into something that is more than just lodging documents. But it's a recognition, as you said beforehand, is that just a lot of people get into business for the right intentions but end up doing the wrong things and find themselves spiraling in and never being able to get out of that. So yeah, we lodge documents. We do boring stuff. But realistically, there's a lot of purpose behind that, and we then blend that in with advisory and technology and a whole bunch of other things where we aim to see some release from our clients so they can spend more time doing what they love and less time doing the stuff that their business would ordinarily force them to do so.
That's a fascinating story, and I love the idea of going back to brass tacks and saying, well, what are we really all about? So I'm curious. You've kind of touched on what you do, but what's your why personally, and what's your why in the business?
This is great. And what I've found is when you're a sole business owner, the why of your business is pretty closely aligned to your personal why, because you're so passionate about what you do. I mean, I do this accounting, advisory, business development stuff because I absolutely love it and I get so much joy from it, but I also love seeing other people being able to be a part of it. So our why at Illuminate is that we want our clients to get out of bed every day and devote their time to what they value the most. And we do that through building close relationships, using leveraging technology and holding accountability along that journey. But it's really just looking at someone and saying, if you could do anything tomorrow morning, regardless of time, money, or location, with no restrictions at all, when you get out of bed, what would you do? And then people struggle to answer that question. Sometimes they're like, oh, gee, it's a very selfish question. It's like, what would you do if you could do anything, bucket list, number one thing, all your debts are paid, you can do whatever you want. And then once I start thinking about it, there's a range of things that come out. Like some people will say, oh, you know, I'd take my dog for a walk on the beach because that's I'm happy. I don't need anything else, and that's what I'd love to do. Other people are more extravagant. They'd pack their entire family into a plane and head overseas and do a massive kind of trip. For me personally, if I could do anything tomorrow, I'd open up a whiskey bar because that's kind of my dream. I love the stuff. But what I find is that once we can answer that question, then we know what we need to do inside of the business to help people achieve it. So for us as accountants and advisors, how can we help someone if we don't know what their end goal is? If all we know is like, I want to sell. Well, why? What is the purpose of sale? What are you looking to do after the sale? Like, where are you trying to get to? And then understanding what that end goal looks like helps us in the day-to-day stuff, in the transactional, to actually achieve that for them.
Yeah, I love that. And it makes so much sense when you lay it out like that, and yet people get lost in the detail, as we've both said, that you know, you get stuck in your business and in the day-to-day of running the business, and all of a sudden the business is running your life and you've got no time left to do those things that you know, you might choose to do if everything else was in your power to kind of
absolutely
know, find money and
business gets in the way, right? Like we're running and all of a sudden an opportunity pops up, and it might be something that we hadn't contemplated, but it might be a really good opportunity. But what I find is that most people don't have something in place to help them to decide whether to pursue that or not. And as a result of that, most opportunities look really good, so most people are going to dive into them and give it a crack without realizing the impact it might have on the rest of the journey that they're going through, the rest of their business, their employees, their family, like themselves, their health, all these things. They don't contemplate it because they're like, hey, you know, prospect A's reached out and it's going to give me, you know, $100,000 to do a thing. Great, that's 100 grand that I didn't have yesterday. And then by accepting that, all of a sudden they've taken themselves down a path that is taking them further away from what they want to achieve as opposed to closer to, even though it looks really good. It's a good fruit. It's nice and dangly. It's shiny and it's pretty. It's not really good once you kind of get through it all.
Yeah. And then people, I mean, sometimes they do the kind of basic strategic evaluation of, well, if I spend all my time on that $100,000 opportunity, what do I have to let go right now? But as you say, they're not focused on that end goal ultimately and saying, does this take me further down the journey or is it a diversion?
And the beautiful thing here is everything that we work around at Illuminate, everything we talk about and we do is all built off what we're trying to achieve ourselves. Like I'm trying to build an accounting business, a consultant business, a bookkeeping business, all these kind of things that give me freedom to open a whiskey bar. So I am test case number one. And the unfortunate thing is I tell everybody about it so that I'm held accountable. People know that that's what I want to do now. So they're like, how are you going with a whiskey bar? Like, what are you doing? Because I have to build the right team. I have to have the right right clients on board, the right technology. We've got to price things properly. All these things have to come together to achieve that. So it's really nice to be able to sit down with clients and actually show them that you can relate to what they're trying to achieve. Like I am trying to do the same thing. Therefore, we can talk about this together in a consultative environment, but also in like a reflective environment as well, where we can learn from one another.
And it gives you, I mean, what I like about it too is that it gives you that human connection that you spoke about right at the beginning, where, you know, now Andrew is not just my accountant. Andrew is the guy that loves whiskey and, you know, his passion is to start his own whiskey bar. And you have that insight into your client as well. And so then there's conversation around various things, and when you then add that accountability to it with people then saying, well, how are you going with the whiskey bar, then that kind of works back into the business in terms of keeping things on track towards that path.
Yeah, we were working with a client the other day and I'm sitting down at a quarterly advisory meeting we do. We do a bit of agile conversation. We look at some numbers and she had her first child, I think about 6 months ago, and she hasn't really returned to work and the business is more profitable. And I'm like, that's interesting. And their goal is that they wanted to be able to go to America indefinitely, which really is they might go for a month or two, but they wanted to go and not have to put a capped time frame on when they have to come back. And we sat there and we realized you have everything in the position right now to do it. You just have to choose whether you want to. So we now need to start thinking what your next thing is, because you've kind of ticked off that first box, and she's almost accidentally done it. And it's beautiful to watch, because when you sit there and you kind of say, hey, so remember that thing you said? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, you can do that tomorrow if you want. They're like, really? Like, they know that internally, but sometimes I find, because we're consulting businesses all the time, sometimes they've got two questions to ask. Is number one is, am I doing okay? And number two is, am I allowed to do this? And that big one on that is like, when we say, hey, look, everything I can see here stacks up, you can achieve this. And it was great to see the way they reflected on that and reflected on what got them to that point where they actually, she didn't have to be there anymore. And it just accidentally happened because she had a kid. And then she was able to design her business around her not being there.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a great story. And you know, with a situation like that, people then say, "Well, okay, I better get organized so that I can spend time with my child in this case." And what do I need to do with the business? And then the benefit, of course, is that all of a sudden the business can kind of run at least for short periods of time without you. Which is really absolutely great when you can get to that.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so you mentioned there about people kind of almost getting into a position where they can do whatever it is that they plan to do outside of their business, but they're hesitant to do it and they might not think that things are in place. Is that just the financial thing, or what do you think are the barriers there?
Look, I think there's a few things, and I'll reflect personally on stuff that I'm going through, but personally that I know clients are going through as well. So there's always the time and money kind of dilemma. Like, can I afford to do this? And do I have the time to do this? What does it look like if I do there? I think some of the other things that come up is there's this great question of like, is this the right time to do it now? So like if it's a matter of like, I'm going to step away from my business and start to do these other things, is, well, I'm seeing a massive amount of benefit of me investing my time into the business. So I don't want to step away, because that what I might invest my time into next might not give me anywhere near as much financial reward, because I often connecting it to the financial reward here, as opposed to connecting to what is the most important thing for you. And if that's the time with the family or the holidays or the whatever these things look like that everybody has, that's the moment they can transition. So I definitely find that they're looking at this and saying, can I afford to do it? They're looking at this and they're saying, do I have the time? Like, what does this mean to me if I step away? What is it? And they look at that from their business and say, are we done yet? Like, have I given everything this business that I can personally give? And then they look at that inside the business. Do I have the right people on board? Like, if I go away and I go away longer than the, say, 3 weeks that I went away on a holiday recently, can my people sustain this? At what point in time might it drop? Do I have the right technology in place to ensure that things are going well? Are we up to speed with where things are at? Is our marketing on point? Like, do we have a message that's true that our people believe in, and it's not just me running and leading that myself? So there are so many questions that kind of come out of that when people get closer and closer to this moment of like, realization that they can do it. And I think it's because it's the FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. Well, what if I stop doing this thing that I've been doing for the last 10 years and it doesn't work? Or like, if I stayed in there, it would have been even better. And I think once they can get over that, and like I said, it's a realization of what is most important. For me, the fear of missing out is I'm missing out on doing the thing that's most important to me. It's not the fact that my business might not be as good as it was last year, next year. But if it's good enough to allow me to do the things that I want to do in life, is that not enough? Like, do you need more, or are we just becoming a bit greedy or a bit focused on keeping up with the trends in the business world?
Yeah. You mentioned the fear of missing out. I think one of the things in the first stage of that process of being able to step away from the business for a while and pursue whatever it is that, you know, your ultimate goal is in delegating work to other people and in kind of letting go of some of that work. And I think there's a fear that people have there of letting go, and maybe, you know, somebody else isn't going to do as good a job as I can do, or whatever that fear is. But do you think there's a fear at that next level as well of, okay, if I'm going to go away for 3 months, let's say, and be right away from the business, I've done everything I can to get the business in a place where it can run without me for 3 months, but am I afraid that of not actually being needed in the business, even though I've been working towards it?
Oh, look, it's a funny one. And I think I was just having an advisory session this morning with someone around this whole idea of like the most important thing to allow you to not be there is the people you have. But you have to hire specifically. You have to find people with certain skill sets that you might not even need right now. But even bigger than that is you need to be able to give them the work to do. If you hold on to that, and you know what happens is most of us who have started our own businesses, we did it because we were the best person in the room doing it at that time. So we said, you know what? I'm just going to do it for myself. I'm not going to do it for anyone else because I can do it better. And all of a sudden we're running our business, but we realize, well, if I'm the guy who can only do it better, that means I'm the person who's always doing it. I never get the freedom of doing this, being able to step out. So I think that whole control is a massive issue for most business owners. It is their baby. It is what they've invested their blood, sweat, and tears in. They might have destroyed relationships over this business, and they recognize, well, I can't just give it to anybody and anybody. Like, this person needs to be the best thing since sliced bread for me to allow them to take on these roles. But I know in my business, 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago now, I hired two guys in our team. One of them I was looking for, one of them who approached me out of the blue, and we couldn't afford it, but he just had a skill set that I wanted so badly. And then a year later, we hired a lady, and they, between those three, without them, I wouldn't be able to do what I do in my life nowadays. I took a week off last week. I could not have done that without those people. The future of the business, I talk about Illuminate, it's not my business. It's someone else's. I'm just the caretaker. And I think if we can take that perspective of my goal is eventually to not be here, I have to understand that this isn't my business and I have to be doing the decisions of the best for the people who are going to own it next. And what that means is it's put in a position to allow me to escape as best as possible. And it doesn't rely on me as much anymore. But if we keep thinking of this is my business, then that means everything that you do has to be run through you. You have to prove everything. You have to be involved. But once you step away and you've got the right team on board, what I've found, and I've found this personally, I've seen with other clients as well, is that you are still important to your business because you're the person who's been able to build it to the point where it doesn't need you. So your people are still looking at you saying, all right, you're the mad scientist here. You've been able to do something like this. Like, what's next? And I find for me, like, that's the next part is like, okay, cool. Like, now that I don't have to be here, I can choose to be here. And if I choose to be here, what am I going to do? And that opens up a massive amount of opportunity where I can just play mad scientist to a certain extent and see what happens without as much risk of doing that when I was 100% dependent within the business.
That's brilliant. That's a massive mind shift though, isn't it? To say particularly if you're the founder of the business, to say, well, this is my baby and hold it close to your heart or play everything through you, as opposed to I'm just a caretaker here. And, you know, I've got to get everything set up so that when I'm no longer here, this can still grow or it can still fulfill the purpose that the business has.
Absolutely. And because there's two things that we care about here. Number one is like the financial connection. Hey, I'm the sole shareholder of this business and it needs to make money so I can afford to do the thing. So that, and that's an important one. And that's something we should be considering whether we're the sole shareholder or the minor shareholder or none at all. We should always be looking to grow the business for the business sake. But the other one is that personal connection to this thing. Like Illuminate, the brand who Illuminate is in our business, is something that I hold so dearly and so close to my heart because it's allowed Andrew to be Andrew and to not have to be an accountant. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. But I recognize that if I'm going to make it me forever, if it has to be connected to me for so long, it's not going to be able to go where it needs to. Like I need to have broad shoulders so other people can stand on it and take it where it needs to go. I can't reach it at that left. That's other people's jobs. That's not my job. My job is to create a platform for the next people who then create a platform for the next people and so on and so on and so on.
That's great. Well, let's dig in then a little bit to what is different about Illuminate as an accounting company, and maybe we can kind of learn from that for other businesses and get some ideas for other applications.
Absolutely. So I guess the first thing I kind of liken to what we're different is there's a visual difference, right? There's a whole bunch of things, but visually, if you line up a bunch of accountants in a row and you put us in there, people will go, hey, what are you doing here, mate? This is a lineup of accountants. This is so, like, I mean, you can see me visually right now. Like, I've got a beard, I've got tattoos, I wear ripped jeans, I'm a bit overweight, I like to drink whiskey. I just happen to be an individual. And I think that's the biggest thing for us as a business is we've embraced the individual and we've allowed our people to be who they are and the best versions of that. And then it's reflected back out to our clients where they say, hey, I don't feel like I'm working with an accountant here. I feel like I'm working with someone that I enjoy having a conversation, someone that cares about me, someone that's interesting, not just another suit and tie. So that's probably that first thing that like people would say that what makes Illuminate different is that. The second part is this deep and profound care for what our clients and our people are trying to achieve in their life. And that connects back to our why. Most accounting firms, and I do a bit of kind of consulting and mentoring in the space, but most of them, if they talk about their point of difference or their why or their mission statement, it has something to do with money or dollars. And that's cool. But that's just a cookie cutter approach, creating financial freedom, you know, getting best tax result possible, all these kind of things. And they're good. They're not bad. But how is that any different? Like if I have a lineup of accountants and you give me your mission statement, 9 out of 10 are going to sound the same or very, very similar. So for us, we've just taken this approach of like, what do we actually think is more important? And then how do we use our skill set as accountants to be able to deliver that? So that's probably the other one. And then it comes down to relationships, combining those two, the people that we have and the approach that we have, and then building relationships. And so probably best example of how different we are is we had a party 2 weeks ago. Every year we have what we've referred to as the annual party or Illuminate's annual party. And this year we had a big wood fire pizza truck serving pizza. We had a couple of kegs of beer on tap. We had a donut wall. We had whiskey tasting and gin tasting. We had Mario Kart and GoldenEye on the big giant screen where people were playing. And we had a tattoo artist doing free tattoos for the entire night. So people rock up to this and they're like, and they get a tattoo. And then they go and see their mates the next week. And they're like, oh, you got a tattoo? Yeah, I was hanging out with my accountant at their party on Saturday last week. And they had a tattoo artist and I got a tattoo. And they're like, what? Because for us, it's all about wanting to create the best possible experience so our clients want to be a part of it. And it just so happens to be that we like tattoos and we like whiskey and we like, you know, pizza and all these kind of things too. So we do what gives us joy. And we know that there are a whole bunch of other people out there that also have joy as a result of that. So we still do all the boring stuff. We still lodge tax returns and BASs, and we still talk to the tax office, and we're 100% cloud-based business. So like if you talk a differentiator, I don't see technology as a differentiator in this day and age because cloud accounting has been around for a good 10 years now. And the last 2 to 3 years, it's becoming massively just everyone does it. But you know, we've been in the cloud since day one. I sit on the advisory council with Xero. We've won a whole bunch of awards to do with technology. Every single ounce of our business is sitting within the cloud, and we try to bring more and more automation, not just to make more profit, but to have a better experience for our clients, to have a better experience for our team internally. So dissect that back. It's the people that we have. It's the approach that we take. It's the fact that we want to do what gives us joy and that we want to leverage the best technology away through that because it is what people and how people expect to be interacting today and going forward.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. So thanks for outlining all of that. So I think it's pretty clear, you know, there's a very specific brand image that you've built around. And again, coming back to this idea of the business is there to serve you in the life you want to live and the things that give you joy. I think you mentioned that as well there, which is, I think that's really great because a lot of people as well in business are really struggling to find that joy in what they do. Mm. And the other part of that is how you've, you know, technology is just there as an enabler. Because one of the things that I find really frustrating about technology and marketing in the space that we play in is people often abdicate the relationships and the, you know, personal interactions to the technology because, well, you can use the technology to create kind of interactions, but it's, it absolutely really like, does
blame the system, blame the technology. Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. No, there must have been, or even like, oh, you know, accounting technology. Like, we've got accountants and bookkeepers who are not proficient in the core basic understanding of their craft because they've just relied on the technology to do it. So people are becoming lazy. And I talk about Australia as being a bit of a lazy nation, and that's why we're so adoptive of cloud technology and automation in a positive way. I always say, like, hire lazy people. They'll find a fast way to get it done. But you still need to hire people that care about what they do as well. It's massive. Like, it's I do this presentation where I talk about it's entitled Everyone's Taken. So just be yourself. Just be who you are, because you know, what's the differentiator? Technology, it's not a differentiator. Everybody uses technology. Niching, I mean, people might have different opinions on that, but I can Google how to look after a construction company in about 30 minutes and be able to know how to do it. Yes, there's depths of those kind of things, but in my industry, you need to be going pretty damn deep to niche properly. And then qualifications and education, yeah, that's cool. It's good. You know, you learn a bit, but who really cares about it? Your mum. And yourself. Our clients don't care that we're chartered accountants. They don't care that we're CPAs. They care that we have their best interest at heart. And there's a whole bunch of research out there that shows that. I think it's the percentage of people that believe that accountants operate with ethics and honesty is 50%, which means 50% of people think that we don't. And what is the catalyst for that? And thankfully, I've got a whole bunch of data that we capture with our clients whenever we onboard them. But we ask, like, what's the most important thing for you? And it always comes down to, I want my accountant to have my best interest at heart. And then we ask them, well, what percentage have you have experienced an accountant before Illuminate that had your best interest at heart? Funnily enough, the number came back dead on 50%. And this is out of like about 400 people responding out of our client base. So for me, that confirms this whole idea of like people want to know that you actually care about what they're trying to do and you can actually help. And these things like technology and niching and education and other stuff are important and they can help you to go where you need to go. But if you don't embrace who you are, your authenticity, your individuality, and who you were made to be, you're only going to be able to help so many people. You're never going to really see that impact. You're never going to work with the people that you truly want to work with, and you're never going to have the trust of those people. You won't be able to get to where you want to go.
All right. Well, what else is important in how you work with the clients? I mean, there's a lot of the human interaction and using the technology to enable more human interaction, which I love. That idea, because I think, you know, there's so much we can gain from technology in terms of making things easier, but how do you use that time, money, or whatever is freed up by making something easier and investing it back in that human relation, I think is really the crux. But yeah, what else is important for you in terms of that whole business mindset to deliver the life that you're aiming for and help your clients do the same?
I think one of the important things is stick to what you're good at. As accountants, we have the number one relationship that everybody else out there wants. You know, people refer to us as being the trusted advisor. I kind of mentioned statistics that might suggest that perhaps we're not. Yeah. But once you've got a good relationship with your client and your client loves their accountant, they will go to their accountant for everything. Whether it's a mortgage broker, a wealth planning, a marketing, you know, everything and anything. Heck, I get clients ask me if I know people who build houses because they want to go and build a multi-million dollar home and how, do I have any connections? So we become that point of truth almost for referrals. And for me, it's really important to have a strong network of people who are aligned to how you do business. So our values, our beliefs, our ethos, all those kind of things, the way we go about stuff, we need to ensure that we have people in our world who are skilled in what they do to be able to do it. But what I find is sometimes people get a little bit greedy and they go, well, I'm an accountant, so I know numbers. I can do mortgages too. And so they get a mortgage broking license, and then they get a financial advising license. And all of a sudden, are they an accountant? Are they a financial advisor? Are they a mortgage broker? And you got one person doing three or four things. And look, at certain scales that can work. But if you want to grow a business that has massive impact and deep impact, you need to bring in people who can do that as a specialist. And whether that's having them on board your team to do just that job, or whether that's having someone you can refer out to. And we have that. You know, we have an internal bookkeeping team. We have an internal technology specialist. And then we've got a couple of people who are good at certain things within the accounting space that we can go to where we need. But if I need a mortgage set up with some business finance for a client, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to get someone else who does this every single day because they're the expert, and I'm going to miss out on something. And God forbid a client comes, I give some advice, and because I'm blending my skill set amongst four different things, I'm not up to speed with something and I make a mistake. So I think for us, that experience for our clients is they know that if they ask us to connect them to someone, that who we're going to connect them to is actually going to help, not just be a referral fee in my pocket, or we're just going to charge them to do it, but it might be a half-assed approach.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's great. So I think it's, I mean, accountants are in kind of, they're one of several businesses that perhaps are in a unique position there in terms of a business having to have some sort of accounting support. And so that might be one point where there's a connection with a whole lot of other businesses.
The interesting thing, yes, sorry to cut you off there again. The interesting thing I found a while ago, I studied and did my diploma of finance back when I thought maybe I'll try this, and finished it and decided I didn't want to do it. But what I learned there was with financial advisors and other people out there, there's no regulatory requirement for someone to work with them. There is a regulatory requirement for someone to work with me. I'm an accountant. They must lodge their tax return or they will end up in jail eventually. So for me, most accountants and there's other industries out there, you don't even have to try. Like you people have to come. It just has to happen. Yeah. But you can. Yeah. But if you decide to take an approach where you say, what does it look like if I create a business where they want to come to me, like the financial advisor, like the marketing expert, like the builder, like the whatever it looks like, where they are in a field where there's a whole bunch of people saying, hey, we can do this. And everyone's like, I'm not sure if I want someone to do that at all. If we take that approach, and that's what we've found as well, is it leads a lot more people wanting to have that conversation, because it's not just I have to do it, but they choose to do it with us because of that approach that we take.
Yeah, that's a great mindset to develop as well. Not take advantage of the fact that your services are in demand because there are some regulatory requirements of every business, but to actually take the approach, what if they had a choice of doing or not doing rather than just of coming to accountant one versus accountant two.
Spot on.
All right, this has been fabulous, Andrew. I could go on for ages digging some more into the whole philosophy and learning from how you've structured your business, but I think it's a good time to move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. So I think we've probably touched on a lot of these questions, but maybe you can wrap them up for us and give us some really insightful answers to inspire people to go and do something awesome today.
Awesome.
All right. So what do you think the number one thing is that anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
All right. So I'm going to kind of lay this and just go back to that why thing. I think you need to understand what you're trying to achieve before you try to be innovative. If you don't know where you're heading and you can't do that, there's no correlation between the innovation. You know, I might be doing something really, really cool within my business, but no, they don't need it. Like, it's not required. So I think that it's understand the foundation of where you're trying to go to, and then build the innovation on top of that.
Yeah, that's great advice. I saw something the other day, and I can't remember exactly what it was. It was around we take innovation to impact. I think it was kind of a journey statement like that. And I thought I should adapt that and say, well, innovation for impact or innovation for outcome, you know. So I'd be playing with that idea. And I think
That's good. Like, it's this, why am I actually doing this? There's a reason behind this. And therefore I can, at the end of the day, I can come back and I can say, was it a success or not? Because if we don't know why we're doing it, there's no definition of success. And we like, did it work? Yeah, it worked. Should it have worked? I don't know. Carry on. Move on to the next crappy idea.
Yeah. All right. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Look, I'm a verbal thinker, which gets me in a lot of trouble. So I will out loud just talk about what's on my mind. I will share anything and everything. I mean, look, when I walk clients through new technology and things, I show them my full financial records as a business. So for me, ideas, I'm constantly talking and going over them. But what I've found is being a verbal thinker and always having something buzzing in my head is I need to reduce the noise. And so what I do, and I actually haven't done the one for a little while, so I'm due for one, is I have what I've referred to as a brain dump day. And I lock myself in a boardroom and I put some tunes on and I get colored cards. And each color represents something. And it could be my team, it could be my business, it could be my clients, and it could be myself. And on those, I just write down all the ideas that I've been having. What are the things that I've been thinking about? I've talked to everybody about things every second day. There's like, oh, that's broken. Oh, you know what? We could fix it if we did this. So I dump it all out. I have to write it all down because otherwise it just sits and churns and I forget to do anything and it never gets anywhere. And so once I've done that, then I'll look at those four categories and I'll pick two out of those categories and I'll blue tack them literally next to my computer screen. So I'm looking at them every single day. So one of them that I had a little while ago, which I actually didn't follow up on, but I'm going to say it anyway, was just block the crap out of everything. Anytime you have a thought or something, just write it down. Put something out there. Just make sure it's getting out there. And I didn't do it. Probably a good thing because it probably wouldn't have been any good. But things like that. You know, one of them might be need to improve KPI reporting from my team. All right, great. I need to have that visually there because then I'm now actually thinking about the three things I should be doing, not the a million things that are going on in my head.
Mm-hmm. So I guess you're focused on those things.
Yep.
Yeah, I like the brain dump day idea. Mm.
And you put it in your diary and everyone's like, what's a brain dump day? I'm like, well, what I do is I get a can opener and I pop it out and put my brain on a bench and we bash it and see what happens.
Yeah, great. All right. Now, do you have a favorite resource that you use most often?
For what exactly?
Oh, just in a day-to-day situation. I mean, I know you mentioned Xero as the accounting software you use, but is there something else in terms of interacting with clients or running the business?
Probably a few things. So we've got the staples out there. So things like Slack for us is great internally. We've got a team that's split over a few different locations on some days. Sometimes we're all in the house, so it's really good to bring us together. Zapier is probably one of the bigger ones for me as well. And that's all set something up so then you don't have to do something twice. So we go and create a whole bunch of Zaps, and that means when anyone accepts a proposal, it sets everything up in a back end and notifies us. So for me, I'm constantly thinking every time I'm doing something, oh, can I zap that? Like, is there an API that we can plug into? What can we build to ensure we never have to do this again? And sometimes we're wasting a lot of time doing that. But yeah, I'd say Slack for communication internally and Zapier for in terms of just becoming more efficient.
Yeah. So do you set up a strict process for whatever it is before you then automate it?
Yeah, and this is a lesson that we learned trying to go to a workflow solution about 12 months ago, is we're like, this is a great tool. This is exactly what we need, and it's going to do all these cool things, and it is a great tool. And we were testing it for like a small segment of what we did, and we went, all right, we're going to go live. And we ran and we ran and we ran and we went live. And 3 weeks in, we had a few different people saying, hey, it doesn't do this, or how am I supposed to do that? Or I don't think I've ever had to do this before. How do we do it? And what we realized is that we jumped into a piece of technology without having any policies, procedures, or anything put down to say, how should the process look like before we use the tech? So now what we have Shane, who's in our team, he's the head of process. So I'm the head of purpose, Mick's the head of people, Shane's the head of process, Kate's the head of bookkeeping. So Shane is the guy that every time we're going to try and improve a process, he's the one that vets it. Is he's the guy that thinks the most systematically in our team. He's the one who understands the technology the best. And so that's his baby. So I'll come to him and I'll say, for example, hey, we need to go and I find that I'm constantly creating this thing and I'm having to type it out. And then I have to then take that information and copy and paste it into this other place here. I think we could improve that process. Now, what Shane will do is he'll go, let me understand if this process has to happen or not, and let Liam understand to ensure that you're capturing all the information we need and that there's no other touch points that this information needs to go before we set that up. And then that works really well. And I guess I'm going to go backwards a little bit. One of the other things in terms of ideas and productivity and innovation, I apologize for going there, was something in another accountant, Steph Hines from GrowthWise in Newcastle, taught me, and she's an absolute jet. And it was this eliminate, automate, delegate, do. So thinking of what you do, does it need to happen? No, eliminate it. Okay, if it needs to happen, can you automate it? Oh, use technology. Great, I can automate it. Done. If you can't automate it, it has to be done. Can you get someone else to do it? Yes, I can get someone else to do it. Excellent. And whatever's left over is what you have to do. So I find that in terms of a process, a mindset, constantly going over as I'm doing things, that improves my productivity and makes sure that I am more innovative because I'm only doing the things I'm supposed to be doing instead of all the other stuff that gets in the way.
That's great. And you touched on something there that I think is really important. Well, there's a whole lot of things you touched on there that I think are really important. First of all, the audit of the process itself, but beginning that audit with, well, does this need to happen at all? And often the answer to that question is no. And there's things being done and you say, well, we don't actually need to do that.
I'm the chief of that.
Any value.
Yeah, I'm always like, oh, we should do this. It'll be really cool. And like Shane or Mick or some other team would be like, why? You just want to do that because it's cool and it's not relevant, which then leads me into one of my favorite sayings that I have to constantly tell myself. Just because it's sexy doesn't mean it's sustainable. I have to make sure that everything we do is sustainable. Otherwise, all we're doing is all this sexy stuff that will fail or stop or it won't work. I won't have a business that'll be here in 10 years' time. I'll have a business that'll flutter out in a year or two.
Great. All right. What's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
Set the parameters at the start. If you don't know the parameters at the start, you don't know what you're keeping track of. And what I find is it's really important to tell a client what you're not going to do. Even more important than what you are going to do. Because we find in our space, we have scope creep all the time. We're going to do this for a client, and then the client's having such a great experience, they start asking us other questions. So if we set the parameter day one and we say, hey, this is what we're doing for you, we just need to let you know that we won't be doing this kind of stuff for you. And that means make sure that we're keeping them on track in terms of what that looks like, that we can then come back to them and say, excellent, you've now done everything that we needed you to do. Now let's move into the things that were outliers that you might have touched on. Keep the focus.
Yeah, that's great. And I like the kind of setting the scenes, the parameters as here's what we're going to do, but here's what we're not going to do. So that's clear, because often what remains unsaid, people make different assumptions mm-hmm. about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I think we've touched on this, but I'll ask anyway, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
I just think just be yourself. It's like Stop comparing yourself to other people. Stop trying to look at what they're like. And this is like, stop looking at what the market does. Just understand that you are good at what you do. Ensure that you're skilled. There's a great book out there, So Good They Can't Ignore You. Become so good they can't ignore you. Don't try and pretend. Don't try and put a mask. I put a mask on for 4 years when Illuminate started every day just to pretend that I was an accountant, when really I was always Andrew, who happened to be good at accounting. And I think if you can look at yourself in that way, I'm Andrew who's good at accounting, not an accountant called Andrew. Becomes different. And what my favorite game to play now is like a barbecues, you know, you do the whole standard, oh yeah, what do you do? What do you do? My favorite thing is to say, well, what do you think I do? Because then they get to visualize and they get to be really judgmental. And they'll be like, and they look at me and they're like, oh, well, you must be a graphic designer, or maybe you're a brewer, or a bouncer, or a tattoo artist, or something like that. And when I tell them that I'm an accountant, they're like, oh, did not expect that. Tell me more. How many times when someone says, I'm an accountant, do you say, tell me more about that? I'm really interested.
Yeah. That's when they really think exciting.
You're a tattoo artist, you say you're an accountant, they go, tell me more. How the hell does this happen? So I think that's the thing. Like, how do you differentiate yourself? Understand who you truly are. Commit yourself to do that. Your mental well-being will be far better. You'll have greater trust and people will start noticing you more, because you won't look like the next person. You'll look like exactly who you are.
Yeah. And like you say, it's the going back to the conversation at the beginning with the accountants, all dressed in suits. And I think, you know, I suspect that probably 80% of them, for them, that's because they believe that's what's expected. And they're actually putting a uniform on that kind of hides who they really are.
And don't get me wrong, there are some incredible accountants and people out there who wear suits every day. Yeah, and they are like, I am in awe of some of the people out there and what they can do. So I've got massive respect. What I'm saying here is that's just not me. So I need to be true to who I am. Otherwise, I'm pretending to be them because I'm like, I'm keeping up with the Joneses. Well, that's what you know, a big four accountant looks like, and that's what the definition of accounting is. Therefore, I must be that. Create your own definition. Be your own person. Do what gives you the most joy. And there are so many people out there who want to work with you. They don't want to work with a carbon copy.
Hmm. And it turns out it's actually a lot easier to be yourself than to pretend to be somebody else.
it's the shift is hard initially. Like like for us, I had a big fear of when we kind of relaunched Illuminate's brand, and it was just all about who we really were. I was just this afraid of like, oh, what if people don't like it, or what if we say this is who we are and it turns out it's not who we really are? But I think the biggest fear is if we don't do this, if we don't be true to ourselves, what kind of people will we be? Where will this, like, what, who will I be in 5 years' time? I'm just going to become less and less and less of who I am and more and more and more of a carbon copy. And I couldn't stand that.
Hmm. All right. Well, thanks, Andrew. This has been really great. Now, where can people find out more about you and about Illuminate and maybe even reach out and say thank you for what you've shared with us today?
Absolutely. Look, I love meeting new people and having conversations. So I absolutely welcome any conversations, whether you want to grab a beer or whether you want to chat anything deeper. But you can find us on our website, which is www.illuminate, spelled I-L-L-U-M-I-N and the number 8.com.au. If you want to see what I talk about and the things that I'm interested in, best to follow me on LinkedIn. I kind of put some rants and rambles on there as well, as well as you can find us on all the various Twitter, Instagram, Facebook locations too.
Yeah, and the whiskey bar isn't up and running yet.
The whiskey bar is not up and running, but just to continue on the conversation, I'm going through some of my team buying into equity right now. So the realization of me being able to step away and being able to realize some of the value of the business so I can go and do this thing is slowly starting to happen, which I think the day I sign the document and dollars hit my bank account, I might just kind of curl up into a ball and have a bit of a cry about the fact that it's actually happening. But the whiskey bar will be there. I'm making my own whiskey at the moment, which will be fun. So Illuminate will have its own whiskey in a couple of years' time once it's kind of aged appropriately. So I might reach out and we might throw a couple of bottles out on the podcast for some of your listeners one day.
Great. All right. That'll be fun. And we'll have to check out the whiskey bar once you get to that point as well.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, what parting advice would you like to leave our listener today for, particularly, you know, if their aspirations are to be a leader in their field and a leader in innovation?
Cool. Oh, mate, I could come out with everything. I'm going to try and say something that I haven't said before, so it's not just a replication. But I guess what I want to say is that we, in our life and in business and in our professional careers, often get beaten down, trodden on, and told that we're not good enough. Whether we're juniors and there's other people getting the work, whether we're kind of getting bigger and we don't win the job, whether the profit margins aren't there and we're not generating the amount of revenue, whether our partner doesn't understand why it is that we do what we do. So my number one piece of advice is truly understand why you're doing this. Believe in yourself. And if you're willing to put those hard yards in, that's fantastic because you are worth it. And sometimes I feel like we're just going to give up because it's all too hard. But we don't realize how valuable and how important we are as individuals and people are. And as a result, the impact that our business can have. So if you want to be a leader in your field, make sure you're really committed to what it is you want to do and start believing in yourself and then push it out because people need you to do what you do because no one else is going to do it unless you go and do it yourself.
That's great. Great message. All right. Well, thanks, Andrew. Now, finally, who would you like me to chat with on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
Oh, man, I've got so many names in my head that would be amazing, but I know they'd be horrible on a podcast. Like these are clients of mine who are just truly incredible people, but it'd be like talking to a brick wall. So I'm not going to suggest there. What I might suggest is there's a guy that I know who's a client and a friend of mine. His name's Sam Keck, and he runs a business called Common Folk Coffee. And this is a little coffee roasting business that started in Mornington on the Mornington Peninsula down in Victoria. And it is literally a cult now. Like it has grown and such an incredibly strong brand. This guy's won an award to be like one of the most respected coffee people in the world. It's crazy what this guy does. He's jumping on a plane tomorrow to head to Africa to the plantations that they support through charity funding so that Africans can grow coffee in a financially rewarding way instead of being taken advantage. So I reckon Sammy would be a really good person to chat to. He has a beard at the moment, but I think he's shaving it off because he's got twin girls and they've never seen him without the beard. So he wants to shave it off so he can surprise them. So I reckon he's the go. He's the go.
Okay. Well, sounds fascinating. As a big coffee fan, lover of coffee, I'd love to have a chat with him and also talk about in particular. And one of the things that I always have mixed feelings about when drinking coffee is the knowledge that, you know, where has this come from, and have the people that have planted and harvested this actually been adequately rewarded, or am I inadvertently contributing to somebody being taken advantage of?
That's the beautiful thing. I think they donate like it's $1 or 50 cents or 10 cents or whatever it is from every cup of coffee they sell goes towards this. It's just fantastic.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and insights with us today so generously, Andrew. I've had a lot of fun and really, you know, learned a lot here. We haven't talked about accounting as much, but I think the whole business model, how you put together your business, there's lessons there for all of us in whatever business we happen to be in. And I think we can take those lessons away from accounting and apply them across the board. So thanks so much. And all the best for the future. I hope that whiskey bar comes along quickly, and look forward to trying out the Illuminate whiskey, and let's keep in touch.
Absolutely, mate. A pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that insightful and engaging conversation with Andrew and took something away from his episode. What stood out for me was Andrew's philosophy that your business should serve your life. And whatever you do in business ultimately should move you forward on the path towards your desired outcomes in life. I'd love to know what you took away from Andrew's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/AndrewVanDerbeek. That is AndrewVanDerbeek. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/AndrewVanDerbeek. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Andrew there, as well as links to the Illuminate website, to his social media pages, and to the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Andrew suggested that we have a conversation with Sam Keck of Common Folk Coffee on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Sam, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Andrew VanDerbeek. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini-class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free, my gift to you, and accessible without giving away your email. But most importantly, it will help you gain absolute clarity about your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery, or our help with podcast production, then send me an email to jurgen@innovabiz.co and we'll set up a quick call just to have a conversation and find out if we're a good fit for one another. Tune in again next week to the InnovaBuzz podcast. We've got some more fantastic guests lined up, including the amazing Steve Sims, author of Blue Fishing, and my friend Dr. Sandy Everleth, optometrist and digital marketing consultant. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the InnovaBuzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe. innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.